If you traveled overseas, you would know. If you did not travel overseas, you should know. One of the most important things for that kind of a trip is your passport. When you're in a different country, when you're in overseas, your passport is the only valid ID that defines who you are. It contains a bunch of information about you, one of which is most importantly your citizenship. You cannot travel anywhere without it. You cannot fly anywhere, even in overseas. So it is really important, especially when you end up in trouble overseas, especially in terms of legal matters, your home country guarantees that because you hold that passport will come and will be involved in these legal matters and to rescue you. But there are moments you keep checking your passport when you're traveling. You keep checking your jackets, your suitcase, your luggage, your room, and you want to make sure it's safe. But certain moments, you feel like you lost it. And that time, you become so anxious. Million thought comes to mind. How are you going to go back to your home country? Are you going to have to end up dealing with the embassy? Are you going to answer a police officer? How are you going to prove that you're a citizen of this particular country? So you lose your identity for a moment. And as Christians on this earth, sometimes we act like or feel like or think like we lost our passport as well. And we lost our identity. And beyond that, we act like we gave up on trying to find our passport wherever it is. So we gave up on trying to find our identity. So we all feel always anxious, always stressed out, and always feel like someone is going to arrest us, and always uncomfortable, have no peace with anybody. So these scriptures explain us what kind of citizenship that we may have. We will look at two main points. Who were we, and who are we now? First of all, we will look at who were we. First verse of these scriptures, as you can see, Paul starts with the word remember. That is what we are doing this morning as well. We are remembering who we were as Gentiles, as Paul speaks to Gentiles of his lifetime. They were Gentiles. They were uncircumcised in the flesh, which means that they were not part of the people of God on earth. They were not children of Abraham, which God entered into covenant with. And they were outside of this kingdom of God on earth, because they were uncircumcised, and they were strangers to covenant of promise. And Paul gives further explanation to them what this being non-citizen is like, what that means. It means they were without hope and without God. Like Paul says, remember, as you can see in verse 11, we were Gentiles as well. We did not know God. We were not part of the covenant of promise. We were without hope in this world. If you are not promised by the divine that he will be God to you and to your children, you are lost in this world. There is nothing to hope for, nothing to long for, and nothing to trust for. In his letter to Thessalonians, Apostle Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. He says, those who have no hope grieve. This pandemic that we've been going through the past 2 years showed us many struggles. Apart from death rates and sicknesses and many other problems, it brought some of the hidden struggles in our lives and brought them all to the surface level, one of which is loneliness. According to results of the research conducted in last October, 36 of the respondents are feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time. 61 of those who are aged 18 and 25, very young. This loneliness makes people miserable, hopeless, and it becomes this downward spiral, leads to depression. When we are without hope, When we have nothing on earth to trust for, nothing on this earth will satisfy us. Nothing would be a remedy. And any struggle that comes to our way will crush us. And Paul says, remember how miserable you were before. You were without God, without hope, without any promise for life or any eternal life. You were like those who are in grief because they do not have hope. Thankfully, Paul doesn't leave us there. Look at the verse 13 with me. He says, but. The New Testament is full of this conjunction and always gives us incredible reversals. Usually leads to a better solutions than before. But now in Christ Jesus, through His blood, everything has changed for those that Paul was speaking earlier, describing earlier. Christ changed everything through His sacrifice. The apostle says, Christ is our peace. He is the one made peace between us and God. Once we were annihilated, we were enemies of God, we were not of Him, but He became our peace by reconciling us to God through His sacrifice. This peace is both vertical and horizontal. It is vertical because through Christ's sacrifice, we have peace between us and God. But it is also horizontal that we have peace among us through His sacrifice as well. So there is no longer two people groups as Jews and Gentiles or any other whatsoever. In verse 14, he says, He broke down the dividing wall of partition, hostility. And in verse 16, he continues to say, He might reconcile both one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in Himself. What does that remind us? It should remind us the curtain of the temple. When our Lord Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple torn apart into two pieces, which gave us access to most holy place, to God. It brought us peace. And then God extended this grace to Jews and Gentiles, and there are no more two people groups, but one in Christ for God. And this peace we are talking about is very real. It is not theoretical, it is not just poetical, it is not just in words, it is actual. When we look at the church history, we see these two people groups, Jews and Gentiles, were in enmity. Before, Jews disregarded Gentiles and they thought about them as filthy, ungodly. They hated them so much, especially because Roman Empire was ruling over Israelites and Roman Empire was made up of Gentiles. But when we look at the first century, especially the persecution era of the church, what we see is two people groups are worshiping in synagogues or house churches together in peace and in harmony. They're worshiping to one Lord, Jesus Christ. That is the peace Christ, that peace of Christ that works among us through the Holy Spirit in and among us. And this powerful gospel that brings us peace is not only in the first century that the passionate Christians, but it is active and powerful even today. Some of you might know that there is historical enmity between Armenians and Turks. In the year 1915, during the World War I, the Ottoman Empire, which is the previous rulers of today's modern Turkish Republic, were concerned about the Armenian presence in the land. They thought they can be a threat to their national security. They were afraid of their betrayal in the midst of the war. So the best solution that they could come up with to exile entire Armenian population from every corner of the land. They've been forced to leave their houses, all their possessions, their loved ones, neighborhoods, whatever they have. And a journey started for them that there was no end. The Ottoman army did not let them stop at all, did not let them have a break. So many men, women, children died on that way, suffered and died. Since this event, there is this historical enmity between Turks and Armenians. There are deep wounds, it seems like it will never heal. But in Christ, everything is different. When I first became Christian and started attending this church in Istanbul, Turkey, this associate pastor who became senior pastor later was an Armenian. More than half of the congregation was an Armenian, and I had never felt at home like that before. We never thought of each other with our ethnicity. We never looked at each other with a different eye. I have been loved by many tantiks, which means aunties in Armenian language. I had many ahpariks, which means brothers in Armenian language. We had the peace of Christ. He took the enmity, hostility among humanity and made all people one God for himself. We were no longer primarily Turks or Armenians to one another, but first and foremost, we were Christians. We were the people of God. And those who are outside of the church, they still struggle with the same issues. Turks still hate Armenians so much, and Armenians hate Turks so much. But for those in the church, those who became one body, those who experienced forgiveness themselves, are passing on the same forgiveness to one another and live in peace. This is only truly possible through Christ and his sacrifice. Even look at this church this morning. We have Americans, Mexicans, many Hispanics, Congolese, South Africans, French, Koreans, Chinese, and even one Turk. There are even Californians, if you believe it. And we are able to worship God, our Father, together in peace, in unity, and in harmony. Paul continues to explain the reversal. He says, "So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are a fellow citizen of the saints and members of the household of God." Today, apart from church calendar, we are celebrating 4th of July. We are celebrating many privileges that we enjoy in this beautiful country, knowing that many people on earth are desiring to have same rights and privileges. We are celebrating freedom. We have right to say whatever we want, whenever we want, and wherever we want. We are celebrating being able to pursue the happiness and success in life. But all these privileges comes with the citizenship of the United States of America. Most of you born into this privileged citizenship. You are allowed to hold American passport because you're born into American families or on this country. A lot of people on earth desiring to have this citizenship. Millions of people are waiting in line every year to be approved as a citizen. They're filing up paperwork, taking examinations, going through background checks, and it sometimes takes years. As a candidate for citizenship, I know this very well. Citizenship of the kingdom of God, though, is not like that. We are made citizens not after we file up paperwork, not after we examine to see if we are worthy or not. We have been made citizens of the kingdom of God because of the mercy and grace of God alone. We are granted this privilege to be called children of God because of the cross of Christ, his shed blood, and his sacrifice. In Philippians 3:20, Paul says, "But our citizenship in heaven. We are made members of his household because of God's love for us, not because of a background check." See what the Apostle Paul says in his first letter. He says, "See what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." doesn't say we should be called children of God if we do well. It doesn't say we should be called children of God once you fill up your paperwork. It doesn't say you should be children of God once we pass an exam. No. The Bible doesn't say any of that. It says we should be called children of God, and so we are. And so we are, brothers and sisters. In your American passports, there is this line. The Secretary of State of the United States of America hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the citizen, national of the United States named herein to pass without delay or hindrance, and in case of need to give all lawful aid and protection. In the passport of the citizens of the United Kingdom, it says, Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all who, those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance, protection as may be necessary. It means if you're in overseas and end up in trouble with the country that you're in, the United States of America will come and rescue you. British passport indicates that when you're in need or in danger, Queen herself will come and rescue you. We have that kind of passport, but an even better one in the kingdom of God. We were and are strangers, foreigners in this land. We are sojourners just passing through. We were suffering in our sin, in misery. We were being threatened by the evil one every day because of our sin. And he was threatening us with the punishment of eternity. Death was a danger for us. And our King indeed came to our aid as he promised in the passport of our eternal kingdom, in heavenly kingdom. Queen perhaps will not come and rescue you personally, but our King did. He indeed did, and it cost him his life. But he did, nevertheless. The author of Hebrews says in chapter 9, verse 11, and forward, But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect plea, tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing us an eternal redemption. In Romans 5:8, Apostle Paul says, But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this morning, as Apostle Paul asks us to remember, we remember. Do you remember who you were? Do you remember how you were without hope in the world? Do you remember how you were perishing in the guilt of sin? Do you remember how Satan was making you miserable every day by threatening you with the eternal punishment because of your sin? So remember as well, just like the reversal, how your King Jesus Christ came to rescue you from the misery of sin, from the weapons of Satan, from the power of death, from the guilt within. Remember that you did not lose your passport, nor your King forgot to come and get you. Your King came to your aid. So remember, you are the heirs of this kingdom. You are the citizens of heavenly kingdom. You are a child of God, and so you are. So remember, and find peace and rest in Christ, because He is our peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the peace that you have given to us. And the peace that you have given us is not like the world's. We can trust you. We can have confidence in you. Because you called us your children, we are able to come to you and ask you our forgiveness. We are able to call you our Father. We are able to reach out to you and pray. Thank you for these privileges that you have given to us, and remind us every day so we can glorify your name in every part of our lives. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.